The family of Lake Ridge United Methodist Church welcomes you. We hope this message encourages you and fills your spirit with God's love. We invite you to join us for worship at 4701 82nd Street between Quaker Avenue and Slide Road in Lubbock, Texas. Our services are at 9:15 and 10:30 on Sunday mornings. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 806-794-4015. And now, may you be blessed as you listen to the proclaiming of God's Word.
Well, I love some aerobics. I'm going to invite you to stand. I know that you were instructed to just sit, but I don't believe we can sit as you're able. I want you to stand as we read that word, which is our foundation. Today's text comes from us from a series of the letters that the Spirit of Jesus writes to churches in Asia Minor. And this text this morning comes from his letter to the church at Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 20. Will you read it with me? Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Thank you. You may be seated. And in a couple minutes, I'll invite you to stand again. Real joy to be with you. My name is Jim Ryder. I've met many of you in various settings here in worship, but also in your Sunday school settings. I look forward to greater opportunities to get to know you better in my work here. I'm grateful to Bill for giving me this time this morning to preach and speak. I pray. I don't know about Bill, but myself, for example, this last week he was gifted a trip, Christmas trip, from Margaret, Colorado, and they got to go this last week. And Bill may be a better man, a better preacher than I am, but when I would go on a trip like that and come back on a Sunday, about midweek, I would start losing my focus on the time apart because I'd start thinking about the message. So I really pray. I'm grateful for this opportunity to preach, but I really pray that it also blessed Bill and Margaret for a time of renewal and recreation this last week. Preparing for this morning's message, especially with its focus on the sacred table that spread before us, I could not help but think of the soul. Oh, he was a mess. He was a mess when he went to his doctor. I mean, he had cake smeared all through his hair. He had an ice cream cone standing on one side of his head like a little hat. He had a dill pickle spear sticking out of one ear, a carrot stick out the other. He had pasta dripping from his nose, mustard and ketchup smeared all over. He was a mess, and he was desperate for some help from his doctor. His doctor kind of surveyed the situation, didn't hesitate, didn't take long to reply. He said, you know, I'm going to have to run some tests, but my initial impression is you may not be eating properly. Thank you. Thank you for the laugh. Some of you may not have heard the punchline. I love to laugh. I love to joke. And I think when it's appropriate, I love for a joke to be in a sermon. But I'll grant you, to just have any old joke in a sermon without a deeper reason, that can be profane. That can really be abuse. And so I appreciate that story. I like the fact that it helps us relax a little bit, I hope. But more importantly, it helps me to convey a main point I want to talk about this morning. Namely, that from my experience as a pastor across the years, but also my experience as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, my impression is there's just too many of us that are not eating properly. Now, I'm not talking outwardly, physically, although if you look at me, you know, clearly I've got a stewardship issue of my body and I'm working on it. I'm not eating properly and I confess that. I did buy State Fair corn dogs for the Super Bowl tonight, but they're whole grain. That's not what I'm talking about, though. My experience as a Christian, my experience as a pastor has been that especially as we come to this table and as we eat together in various settings, we're not eating properly. We reduce moments like this to physical elements. And if we remember, we think of what Jesus did, and we fondly remember what he did 2,000 years ago, but we reduce We underplay the fact that this is a social moment, a communal moment, and most profoundly, it is a spiritual moment. For 3 years that I was an associate pastor at First United Methodist Church in Houston, my job was to work with a biblical archaeologist on staff, Jim Fleming. I would help to coordinate his lectures in the States and travels both in the States and abroad, develop some of his curriculum. Because of his contact with the land and his education, it was an unparalleled experience and program in my life that helped me to better understand biblical culture in Jesus' day. And it helped me to appreciate how a regard for biblical customs and manners illuminates the scriptures. For example, in the States, but also abroad in Israel, we would conduct biblical mealtime presentations in which we would have a meal as they did in Jesus' day, and we would help to unpack the deeper meanings of the Passover and the Lord's Supper. Through the course of these biblical mealtime presentations, we would relay various stories. They might be modern in nature, but their roots went back to Jesus' day as far as the message they were conveying. In many ways, the Middle Eastern understanding of eating together is very much in touch with those same feelings and sentiments from Jesus' day. And I'd like to share just a few stories with you this morning that I think help us get in touch with the deeper spiritual meaning of eating together. In doing so, I hope it helps us appropriate more fully and more deeply in our spirits what's really going on as we come to this table and eat with our present Lord, Jesus Christ. Story one. Old Testament professor Bill Power from seminary recounted the story how he was on an archaeological dig out in the outback of Israel. And he made his way to a local village because he needed to get the bus back to Jerusalem. Now, the Mediterranean and the Israeli time schedule is rather laissez-faire. There's a schedule posted, but that's not to really be trusted literally. And as always, there was a wait before the bus came, and the bus is going to come when it comes, that kind of thing. So he got his ticket and proceeded across the street to a park and sat on a bench. In time, a young boy, maybe a young teenager, came along, and they struck up a conversation. And in time, the boy even opened up the meager possessions, the meager contents of a paper bag he had, and shared this meager meal, a few orange slices, with Dr. Power, a few crackers. Wasn't much, but it sure did cut the hunger at that point. The bus finally came, and Bill would recount now, he tried to offer money, the boy refused it. But what he especially recounted and would point out was the last words of that boy as Bill made his way to the bus to return to Jerusalem. Emphatically, the boy yelled across the street. He said, "You know, we've eaten together now. And now that we've eaten together, anytime you come back to my village, I am to take you in. My family and I will feed you. We will take care of you." You see, to a Middle Easterner viewing that event, what the boy was saying was true not only in our day, but in Jesus' day. When we eat together, I'm committed to taking care of you when you're in my sphere of influence, when you're in my village. Another story. Dr. Kim Bailey, a Presbyterian pastor in the Middle East for 30, 40 years now, but also a scholar and one very much immersed in the biblical mealtime customs and traditions. He recounts the story, from the 70s, when he was a pastor outside Cairo. A group of German students were backpacking across the land, and they came to Dr. Bailey's house and asked if they could sleep in the courtyard. He didn't see any problems with it. He did not know that there was paperwork to be filed with the local authorities if he did so. He just said, "That's fine, that's fine." Unfortunately, the local authorities did find out, and they pressed charges. the penalty for which would mean 10 years in prison if Bailey was found guilty. Well, everybody in the neighborhood began to cut Dr. Bailey off. Not just the Arabs, but the Christians in the community. They did not want any sense of guilt by associating with him. He was just all left to his lonesome. He was ostracized. I say he was largely ostracized because there was a key moment. At a very key juncture, there was a knocking on his door, and when he opened the door, there was the Baptist preacher from the area and the Episcopal priest. And they proceeded to lock arms, one on each side of Dr. Bailey, and they proceeded to the town square, to the cafe. They chose a table outside, a most prominent table for everybody to see. And Dr. Bailey says, you know, no words were necessary. Actions spoke louder than words. And the message to every Middle Easterner there, but it also would have been a message to anybody from Jesus' day, was this. We're eating with this guy. Oh, you may cut yourselves off from him out there, but we're eating with him. And by doing so, we're saying that we accept him. We identify with him. You mess with him, you're messing with us. One more story, okay? Just one more, please. Dr. Fleming, who I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, in his biblical mealtime presentations, he would often refer to that part of the parable of the prodigal son, where the father, you know, kills the fatted calf and throws a feast for the boy who's come back, that wasteful soul who comes to himself and returns. And he throws a feast. And to make the point, or to illuminate what's going on there, Dr. Fleming would describe how in many, if not all, Middle Eastern villages to this day, there is a special committee called the Soha Committee. Soha means table. It's the table committee. And the chief of the village has at his disposal, when he sees two families that are feuding, Hatfields and McCoys, when he sees two individuals that are butting heads and not working it out, the head of the village has at his disposal the ability to demand that the Soha committee, the table committee, bring those souls or those families together. And they sit down at a meal. And it effectively forces them to work it out. It forces them to come to grips with the issues and get beyond it. Why? Because in that setting, enemies do not eat together. So accordingly, to Middle Eastern eyes who read the parable of the prodigal son today, but who also would have read it in Jesus' day, the meaning was abundantly clear. When the father kills the fatted calf and throws a feast, the father was effectively saying, I'm ready to eat with my boy. I'm ready to forgive him, and I am ready for us to be reconciled to each other. Now, I could add some other stories, but these stories are sufficient. They're enough for us to realize that from the perspective of Jesus, who came and instituted this meal, that there's a whole lot more going on for Jesus and the Spirit in this room than us just partaking of physical elements. There's a whole lot more going on than us just fondly remembering something Jesus did with his disciples 2,000 years ago. Truly, in the presence of Jesus, who is here right now, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, this is a social event. This is a communal event. This is a profoundly spiritual event. And the stories I've shared are enough to illuminate some key scriptures before us. Just, for example, the text we read at the top of the sermon, Revelation 3:20. I admit, when I was new to the faith, I heard that. I thought, well, there has to be something going on here. I don't know what it is. But it was rather cryptic to me at first. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says Jesus to that church. If you'll open up the door, I'll come in and I'll eat with you. But now through the prism of these stories, seen through the window of these biblical mealtime customs, it makes complete sense. If you'll open up your life to me, I will come in and I will forgive you. I will reconcile you to me. I'll accept you. I will identify with you. I am committed to taking care of you so long as you're in my sphere of influence, which is forever. Wow. Hello, church. Can you take it in? Dear believer, dear soul, can you take it in? Or again, one more text. What was the big criticism that the legalist of Jesus' day brought against him? He blanked with tax collectors and sinners. What was it? He ate with tax collectors and sinners. Now, at first, again, a newbie to the faith, I'm like, well, okay, well. But now, through Middle Eastern eyes, he ate? He forgave them? He accepted them and identified with them? Those whom the religious pros considered unredeemable, he said, I'll care for you, I'm committed to you. My goodness, that's scandalous. Yeah, we could add more text, we could add more stories, but all this is enough to say that there's a whole lot more going on in this sacrament, this sacred moment. We can begin to take in this meal, this time, this period that we enjoy together is laden with meaning. And there are myriad messages being communicated for those who have ears to hear and hearts to take it in. Jesus comes and he says, I love you. I forgive you. I accept you, dear child. We forgive. We accept. We identify. Yeah, it's enough for me to say there's enough before us. I just think it's time to eat. Church, it's time to eat. Believer, soul, it's time to eat. And I'm saying that not just because of the clock on the wall and it's nice, yeah, I'll have two clocks down here on the floor in case Bill and I can't see back there and stuff. It's time to eat, and I'm saying that not just because of the physical consideration of the clock. I'm saying it because deep down in my soul, deep down in my spirit, I say amen to the Spirit that says it's time to eat. It's time to eat with Jesus and to hear him tell each of us and all of us at deeper and deeper levels. Take it in. Jesus says, my child, I love you. I forgive you. Jesus comes in this meal and the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, I accept you and I identify with you and I'm committed to providing for you unto eternity. Yes, it's time to eat with Jesus. Yes, it's time to eat together. It's time for us to eat with each other, church. It's time for us to hear from each other, but also tell each other, I forgive. I accept you. I identify with you. I'm committed to you. And oh, the joy of that being communicated back from you. You accept me. You forgive me. You are going to take care of me. You see, in that way, communion, Holy Communion, like Christianity, is really informed by the cross and the two beams of the cross. Yes, Christianity is about a vertical relationship between us and God, between you and God, me and God. But don't stop there. Christianity also has a horizontal beam in which it's all about me and you, us and our neighbors. Christianity, Holy Communion, have both beams. It's about us and God, yes, but don't stop there. Too many do. It's about us and our neighbor. So finally, it's time for us to eat together. Not just with Jesus, not just with each other in this room. Ultimately, it's time for us to eat together with any and every soul that could conceivably come through these doors. Young and old, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, young, old, up and outer, down and outer, two-stepper, 12-stepper. It's time for us to have communion with all God's children. It's time for us to enjoy eating together and doing so, pronouncing to all the world the glorious good news of table, of Christian table manners. We accept, we forgive, we will care for and provide, we identify with those who come our way. Yes, dear soul. Yes, dear church, it's time to eat together. And at more deeper and fuller levels of our being, to remember that we are how we eat. In the character and the love and the power and the presence, we are how we eat. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Will you pray with me, please? Come, Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus Christ, and move to the deeper levels of this table and all it represents. Come, Holy Spirit, move to the depths and deeper levels of our being. Help us to hear more fully, more broadly, more deeply your love, your forgiveness, your provision. Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe in this sacred table our love, our acceptance, our reconciliation with each other. Come, Holy Spirit, beyond the physical, beyond mere remembering, come. Come and eat with us.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. The purpose of Lake Ridge United Methodist Church is to help you grow spiritually. One of the ways that we grow spiritually is through our giving. If God puts it on your heart to give to the Lord's work through our church, we encourage you just to write a check to Lake Ridge United Methodist Church and mail it to 4701 82nd Street, Lubbock, Texas, 79424. May God bless you for your great generosity. If we can help you in any way in your spiritual journey, we hope that you will contact us via email or call the church office at 806-794-4015. I pray God's blessings upon you and your family today.